I want us to understand the blessedness of the new covenant, that Christ is in each one of us to the same degree, that He's available to each one of us in fullness. I want to read at some point Jeremiah 31, the promise of the new covenant, where Jeremiah said there's a whole new day coming. And he said it won't be like the old day, Brantley, where every man had to teach his neighbor and his children to know the Lord. He said, the difference is they all going to know me. Doesn't mean you're not going to teach them. It means that they're all going to have the very same access to my fullness. And so when the Word became flesh, it says to everybody who believed, He what? He gave them the right to become children of God. One of the greatest joys this year was that Debbie and I had the whole family together. It's a miracle. And you don't know when it will happen again. We have 5 children, and they're scattered a little bit across the southeast and the west. Some are here. And 14 grandchildren, 1 in the military. So you don't know when you'll have a chance to get everybody together. But we did this year. It was a great time. And Emily, bless her heart, framed the photograph and sent it to us last week. And it was beautiful. It's great. But what I realized is that all of those people in that photograph are my fault. That's what Emily told me. I said, that's a lot of people. She said, they're all your fault. All of them share a portion of my DNA. But with each successive generation, that's going to fade. It will be less and less and a smaller percentage of me with each generation. You understand that? Not so with God. They'll all have the access to the Almighty, the Faithful One. For He is faithful and the same generation after generation. And this is the basic difference in the old and the new covenant. The Bible says of the old, it was fading. It says Moses' face, when he came down off the mountain of meeting with God and getting the law and the commandments, it says his face was glowing, so much so that you couldn't look at it unless he put a veil over it. It's shining so brightly because he had been in the presence of God. The mountain caught on fire, Brantley. It was a powerful event. And yet when it's compared to the new, it says, nothing. That's what it said. It actually says, uses words like obsolete. In the King James, obsolete. It's fading. It started fading the moment he came down. It's still fading. It's faded away. Some people are still looking for that glow. The Jewish people, bless their hearts, are still honoring Moses and still looking for the glow, but it's gone. Moses is dead. And that glow has faded. He says, the new feel. He said, here's what's going to happen. It's not only is it not going to fade. He says, the path of the righteous is only going to go from glory to glory to an increasing glory. He said, it's going to get brighter. It's going to grow. One of the things we should celebrate this morning is what God is doing in you and your offspring. It's growing. It's increasing, Dean. It's not going to stop, nor will it ever fade. It's only going to get brighter. So regardless of my DNA and what little part I can play in the overall purpose of God, in my short little dot in history, it's going to fade. But the lives of those who believe, the purpose of God and the Spirit of God grows and gets brighter and brighter in the knowledge of the Holy One. How good is that? And so I can continue to offer you my teaching and insights, which would be like my little cup of water to you. But what I would rather do is stir the well that's inside of you, so that you can drink from my cup today, but by the time you get through with lunch, you will have forgotten what I said. Maybe you'll get a little something. But if you're stirred by the river and stream or spring that Jesus said would become in you, this is his conversation with the woman at the well. And it's interesting that she offered him her little cup. He asked for a drink from her, and she served him, right? Isn't that what happened? And she was quite taken aback that he would ask her of water. But he drank from her cup. But he said, I can do something in you that won't be gone when you drink it. He said, it's a well springing up inside, whose source is eternal and will not fade away. It won't diminish. It's only going to increase. My goal would be not to try to do a better job with my cup of water for you, but to somehow in God stir up the spring that's in each and every one of you who have God's own DNA in you that doesn't fade. It doesn't fade with your years, your age. It doesn't fade. It doesn't fade with your sin or mistakes. It doesn't really matter what my children or grandchildren do. My DNA is still in them. And it's not going to change. I believe that in God. No matter if I walk away, whatever, His DNA is in me. Now I can stop up the spring, I can squelch it, I cannot activate it and keep it pure, but it's here, and it's in each one of you. He said, I'll give you water, lady. He said, I got something that when you drink of it, you'll never thirst again the way you thirst now. He said, as a matter of fact, it will become in you a wellspring of life springing up into eternal life. What if I could use my last time here to stir up? We used to sing an old chorus years ago. Jim and Kathy, Doris and Kay would be the only ones in here probably that would remember it. But it went something like this. Spring up, oh well, within my soul. Spring up, oh well, and make me whole. Spring up, oh well, and give to me your life abundantly. Remember that? There's no charge for that. Well, those are my thoughts. And I'm just looking for a way to do this in the Scripture. And I thought maybe the best way to do it would be to begin in Hebrews. Again, I'm working without notes, I promise you. I don't have my little 1, 2, 3. I've done that for 36 years. It's helped some. But I want to stir the Word of God in you. Jeff and Christy aren't here this morning, are they? Jeff is here, brother. Thank you for sending me that link of T.D. Jakes. I listened to every minute of it. It was powerful. Well, I want to thank you for sending it, Jeff. If God prompts you to send somebody a verse or something, do it. Anyway, Jeff sent a link to an interview with T.D. Jakes. How many of you know who T.D. Jakes is? If you don't, you've probably been in the dark for some time. T.D. Jakes is an African-American preacher and teacher and author whose eloquence is unsurpassed. He's the kind of guy, when you listen to him, you want to just fold it up and say, why am I even trying? But he's written a book, and he was being interviewed about his new book called Crushing. and some tremendous insights into how God uses pressure in our lives to form us. Really good. So I recommend it if you get a chance to. It's rather lengthy, but it's well worth listening to. Some wonderful things in there. Of course, he's got all kind of messages out there. He actually said when he sat down with the young man on the stage in somebody's church being interviewed in kind of a casual setting, he said, "It's good to see you, Bishop Jakes." He said, "It's good to be seen rather than just viewed." You understand what he's saying? I'm glad people are relating to me personally rather than just clicking on my links. And as we like to say here, you can't digitize a relationship, can you? You can't do it. I appreciate all of the technology and being able to access great speakers and preachers, but it's good to be seen. It's good to be touched one to another. And so I want to read a couple of passages and again just tell you some of the things that I'm thinking and how I'm trying to get where I want to go in hopes that it will motivate you. I want to read a couple of verses from Psalm 62, and these are verses that we've gone over the last 2 or 3 years even that kind of set me on a course, I think, for this hour. And some of you will understand what I'm talking about. When God speaks to you just all by yourself, just you, where you read a verse and it comes alive, you didn't hear it from me, you didn't hear it on the tape or the TV, it's yours. It's like, wow, God spoke to me and it's revelatory and I see something. How many of you have ever had that happen? One, two, three, okay. You know what I'm talking about. Now, I love getting insight from other people because that's yours too. It's not like you own revelation. And so when I sit with you brothers in fellowship or even Debbie and we talk about what God is saying or a scripture, it's revelatory and it becomes yours. But sometimes you read something and it you think, this is mine. And I had that from Psalm 62, and some of you will remember the series that we went through as we preached on that. This is the end of Psalm 62 where David says, this is my translation, and it does not read the same in every translation. But I like this one. David, in verse 11 of Psalm 62, one thing God has spoken, two things have I heard. Now, I'm just saying, David saying, you know, out of all that God has said, here's what I've got. You, O Lord, are strong, and you, O Lord, are loving. What does yours say? You, O Lord, are good, faithful maybe. All right? David said, I know this about God. Brenda, I know these two things. And I think if you know these two things, they'll provide a foundation for you on which you can build your life. If you don't have them, or if you weaken them in any way, or diminish them, you're going to have trouble. You, O Lord, are good. We sing it, it's become a cliche. It's all right. Cliche, just because something becomes a cliche doesn't mean it's not true. But you've been in places and you've heard it. God is good. Come on. All the time. All the time. God is good. You, O Lord, are good. You can't be otherwise. Paul said in Romans, you are good and everything you do is good. He said, your will is good, perfect. David said, you're also strong. We learn this as a child's prayer. God is great. God is good. Let us thank Him for our food. Listen, this is a tremendous theological prayer. By His hand. By His hand. We all are fed. He's that great and He's that good. Give us, Lord, our daily bread. David goes on to extol the greatness and goodness of God. He said, Lord, every living thing gets its bread from You. You supply it in its own way, in its own time, and it's perfect. It's good. So I felt like God, those became mine. Dean, He's good. He's powerful. And they live together in the same street address. They're neighbors. I don't know that you can have one. I don't know that He can be all good and not be great at the same time. I don't know that He can be all powerful and not be all good. I think they go together. Someone said, God can't be good if He doesn't deal with evil. If He doesn't do something about the problem of bad stuff, how can He be totally good? Well, He's good enough to deal with it, and He's what? Strong enough to deal with it. For He will judge the world in righteousness. For He has been given a name that's above every name. That He said that people and things and creatures in heaven bow, people on earth bow, and whatever it is down there, they bow too. He's over all. Paul said He's from Him, through Him, and to Him are. What does that mean, Ben? Must mean all things. No, all things. He is before all things, He says in Colossians, and in Him all things hold together. That's good and it's powerful. We sing it in the old hymn, holy, 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 merciful, mighty. See, these truths have been around a long time, so that it's not new. But they were new to me. I thought if I can hang on to these two things, I'm going to discover something about God that I need to know and that might release this fountain within me. And so I've just been thinking of ways to activate you and the life of God in each one of you. So I don't, you know how sometimes at the beginning of the year you'll hear spiritual leaders say this is the year of this. Some people are calling it, I saw, the year of evangelism. Some people are calling it the year of vision for 2020. But I saw a couple of links about Christian leaders that I listen to and know a little bit about are calling it the year of the Bible, the year of the Word of God. Good. Together in Scripture. Well, I would encourage you, if you want to participate in that, that's not a bad thing. I'd like to know what would happen if all of us read the same passage of Scripture this year and focused on it and gained insight, and each of you started sharing what you saw, what jumped, what activated your stream, what spoke to you out of one particular part of Scripture. So I like to encourage that. So could I just read a little bit of Hebrews chapter 1, and again we'll just keep these other things in mind. I think mentioned to you about how our own celebration of God's goodness has become so vibrant here. We sing a song, with every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. It's like when we sing that song as a congregation, everybody gets involved. Have you noticed that? Some of you have. Because it's a testimony. It's true. It rings true in you that God has been good to me. All my life. All my life You have been faithful. Well, that's a great testimony. All my life You have been good, because You can't be otherwise. Maybe I didn't see it at the time. Maybe I didn't recognize it as good, but you are good and you have been good to me. So what a wonderful testimony. I'm wondering if we now turn our eyes to the greatness of God, what will it mean? What will it do if each of us begins to lay hold of the truth that God is also not just good, but He's great. He's powerful. He sets up kings and puts them down. He's that big. His DNA is eternal to every generation. I've had a couple of experiences. I've shared them with you, and they were revelatory to me. About the time I was into this Psalm 62, I was with Dean in Congo. And we were trying to get to the airport to leave. We'd been there a few days with the team. And it's hard to describe the chaos. It's hard to describe what 90% unemployment looks like. It's hard to describe hundreds of thousands of people in the street with nothing to do except get in the way of traffic. And so we're on our way to the airport, and there's at any given time maybe 6 lanes of traffic, but at some point it may be 4 going this way and 2 this way, and then it could change. It's chaotic, but it's mass of people and cars. And then there's the Chinese who are there doing the road work and infrastructure work. So there's equipment. And then there's hundreds of thousands of people on foot just going to and fro, crossing the lanes, going with the lanes. Right, Autumn? Is that good? Could you describe it for us better? Yeah. But in that moment, I thought the Holy Spirit said to me, I know every one of them by name. I said, no, you can't. You can't do that. You're not that big. How can you do that? And as the more we celebrate the bigness and the greatness of God, the more we understand He is not like us. The greatest understatement in all of Scripture is, my ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, and we don't even know how high that is, so my ways and my thoughts are above yours. But watching all of those people and God whispering to me, I got this. Salvation is in my hand. I knew, I don't only just know them by name, I know how many hairs are on every head. Now look, you just need to think about that for a minute. I had the very same experience a few weeks later when I was driving on the interstate to El Paso, and it was before dawn, and on the right you have Texas and El Paso, on the left you have, Juarez. And it's kind of the slums of Juarez, and you can see the lights, they go forever. And I felt the Lord say it again. I know every one of them by name. They're all created in my image. They all have my DNA in them. So I was listening to, I'm making an effort to listen to smart people. I can't even remember the brother's name. He's a scientist. He would be in the school of Mark Horstemeyer in creation science. He's a philosopher and he's a mathematician. But he said, if you go down to the beach and you see written in the sand, Johnson, that's J-O-H-S-O-N. That's 6 letters. J-7? Thank you, 7 letters. Written in the sand, and you witness that, that's going to reveal intelligence. Somebody wrote that. The waves didn't come in and push the sand and bring the sticks and the shells in a way to where it appeared Johnson. No, it signifies intelligence. A certain level of intelligence. 7 letters. The DNA in the human body is so precise and so perfect. In every one of us, in His image, 4 billion letters. All lined up perfectly in me, and in you, and in you, and in you. The DNA of humanity. Maybe it's 3.1 billion, some say that. His ways are higher than ours. 4 billion, 7. Yet you understand, we're dealing with someone who made the stars and named the stars. We're dealing with someone so precise and so orderly that if the sun were that much closer to earth, we'd all be in trouble. It's so precise. He's big. What does that mean for you? It means that you're dealing with that kind of a God who made promises to you concerning eternity and the issue of sin and His ability and His goodness, Tony, and in His greatness to lift that sin burden off of humanity. And open the door wide for every man, woman, child of every race, every tribe, every tongue to enter into all that He is. No respecter of persons. He doesn't deal Himself out 50 to you, 40 to you, 10 to you. No. 100 here, 100 here. All things are yours here. All things are yours in Christ. He has granted us graciously all things necessary for life and for godliness. All things. He's that big. And then to realize, as Jack keeps saying, he came down. He became like a man. Even though He is not like us. He's not even close. And yet He put on humanity and took on that same 4 billion set of DNA just so He could right all the wrongs of sinful humanity and wrap it all up in some way, shape, form, or fashion, time or out of time, and give it back to the Father and say, "Here, Father, here's the fruit of my life. It's all back like it's supposed to be now here." That's a big God. And yet, He knows each one of us by name. And yet, He knew you before you were born. It just boggles the mind, people. So He's that good and He's that great. Teaching His disciples, he said, I don't know how to say it. He said, "Aren't 2 sparrows sold in the market for a penny?" "Yes, sir." He said, "If one of them falls to the ground, my Father knows it." "No, that's impossible." "Of course it's impossible, unless you're God." And then he said, "What do you think, Dean? Are you more important than sparrows? Do they have the 4 billion image of God DNA like you do?" I'm tempted to say something, and it's best I don't. Would come, thank you. My wife said, "Don't." I'm just thinking the sad lives that people live and what they think is important, and sometimes it's humorous. I better just stay away. No, I'll say it to you after the meeting. Let me just read Hebrews because I just want to really leave you with this one verse, okay? And if you would just keep in mind the two things, these two words, fading and growing, all right? This is Hebrews, and the theme of Hebrews is better, something better. Can you say better? And, you know, you have to know the Old Testament stories to understand how much better it is. Because it's pretty good, some of those Old Testament stories. Maybe we should just entitle this little talk, "Would You Like to See an Angel?" Anybody like to see an angel? Ben says, now why did he do that? Why did he say, no big deal? Why is it no big deal? Because I have the creator of the angels living inside of me. Okay? President Trump's going to send his ambassador to Starkville, and we're going to meet, we're going to have lunch. So it would be like you having an ambassador to come for lunch when you just had a lengthy discussion over a long breakfast with the president himself. So the ambassador's coming. Yeah. In the past, God spoke to us, Phil, through angels. Yeah. But now, would you say, but now? The angels have faded. They're still angels. God still uses them, I believe. But I'm not waiting up tonight hoping I'll see one. Why? I'm going to bed declaring the greatness and goodness of the one who made them and who speaks to me in person by the Holy Spirit. How good is that? I have nothing against angels. I'm not sure of their role at this point. One came to Mary. He had a name. But you see what I'm saying? In the past, God spoke to our forefathers. I'll just read it. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed heir, there it is again, of all things, and through whom He made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of His being, sustaining all things by His powerful word. And after He had provided purification for sins, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty in heaven. And so He became as much superior to the angels as the name He has inherited is superior to theirs. For to which of the angels did God ever say, "Son, I'm your father"? Or again, "I will be His father and He will be my son"? And again, when God brings His firstborn into the world, He says this, "Let all the angels worship Him." But in speaking of the angels, He does say He makes His angels winds, His servants flames of fire. But about the Son, He says, "Your throne, O God, will last forever and ever. And righteousness will be the scepter of your kingdom. Because you have loved righteousness and hated wickedness, therefore God, your God, has set you above your companions by anointing you with the oil of joy. He also says, in the beginning, O Lord, you laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. They will all wear out like a garment." We read some of this from 2 Peter a couple of weeks ago. "You'll roll them up like a robe, like a garment they will be changed. But you're going to remain the same, and your years will never end." And to which of the angels did God ever say, "Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet"? Are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation? Chapter 2, we must pay more careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard so that we do not drift away. For if the message spoken by angels was binding, Every violation and disobedience received its just punishment. How shall we escape if we ignore? If we ignore such a what? A great Brantley salvation. A great salvation. Isn't that wonderful? One is fading. The old is fading. The new is growing brighter day by day. Why don't you stand and I'll finish with Jeremiah 31, where we started. This was many years before Christ. But we're indebted to men who could see things in the Holy Spirit. We're still indebted to that, by the way. I'm still indebted to people who see things and can share them. This is Jeremiah 31:31. We'll just read this in closing. The time is coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their forefathers when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt. It's not going to be like that. As great as it was, as great as that story was, it's not going to be like that because they broke my covenant, although I was a husband to them. But this is the covenant I'll make with the house of Israel. After that time, I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. No longer will a man teach his neighbor or a man his brother, saying, "Know the Lord," because they will all know me, from the least to the greatest. Why? Because I'm going to forgive their wickedness and will remember their sin no more. My prayer for you is that you would grow in the knowledge of the goodness and greatness of God. That those two things would captivate your thinking, cause you to long to know Him. Jesus prayed in John 17, 15 through 17. He said, "I'm praying, Father, that they'll all know you like I know you." How about that, Phil? Jesus is praying for you right now. He's interceding. He said, I'm praying for Phil that he'll know the Father in the same way I know Him. This good God and this great God. Well, I hope I leave you with something that stirs your fountain this morning. Stir it up. Spring up, oh well. Perhaps this year will be a wonderful year of new things and new possibilities as we keep looking for what the Lord wants to do. So I challenge you this morning, remain righteous, stay connected to Him, stay devout, keep reading, keep sharing, keep giving, keep sending, keep loving, keep forgiving, just be devout. Husbands, keep coming home. Wives, keep being happy when your husband comes home. That's devout. Be devout. Stay married. Stay loving. Keep doing what you're supposed to do. Children, keep honoring your parents. Don't stop. I don't care if nobody else is doing it. I don't care if it's unpopular. You stay devout. And keep looking for what the Lord's going to do and show us next. All right? Okay? Happy New Year. Let's pray. Again, Lord, we don't have the elements of the bread and the wine here, but You're here and we know it. And we understand that our gathering is in Your presence, that our lives, our very lives, exist because of You and in You. But we want that to become so real. So real. That our fountain stays alive and active and responsive to the Word of God. that you said was living and active. I pray it'd be active in me. I pray it'd be alive in me this year. I pray the Word of God would, it'd be the year of the Bible for Bill Murphy. It'd be the year of the Word of God for me. It'd be alive, it'd be active, and I would grow in the knowledge of God. I pray that for the people, Lord. Those gathered here, would you bless them now in the name of Jesus? Whatever's in me, whatever authority I have, whatever grace is on my life to bless people, I bless these people in Jesus' name. I bless their homes, their relationships, their tasks, their jobs, their neighbors. I just, whatever I have today, I bless them in your name, in your presence with us now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Bless you.